I offer my respectful obeisances to the Buddha, which was spoken by the Lord, who is endowed with perfect qualities. It is a work by which the ocean of ignorance meets its complete end, by which pure bhakti becomes fully nourished to the highest degree, and by which the supreme truth, normally difficult to understand, becomes eternally manifest. What were some important concepts that we learned yesterday? We have to become Shruti Dhara. What were some important concepts that we heard yesterday? Yes? The indestructibility of the soul and the destructibility of the body. Yes?
Soul is immeasurable because it is fading.
Soul is?
Immeasurable.
Immeasurable.
Because it is fading.
Because it is spiritual. Yes.
Self is unchangeable, and that is the soul, which is eternal and doesn't change. And we also took an example of sky, which is permanent. And to the opposite of that, we had asat, which is non-existent and non-stable. And here we took an example of the cloud, which is temporary.
Okay. Any good? The transcendentalists are of two kinds, impersonal and personal. And both are seers of the truth. Right? Sorry? They are both authorities, yes, they are tattvadarshi, they are seers of the truth. But as we know, those who are personalists, they are seeing more of the truth. Both are seeing the truth, but some are seeing more. You have seen that in Ishopanishad. It's like seeing somebody who sees a train coming in the distance. You have seen that example? You see a train coming in the distance. Somebody has never seen for the first time the train. There's a new line being built in the jungle. So there's a jungly man. For the first time, he's waiting to see what is the train. He has never seen the train. So the train arrives in the evening when it's dark. So in the distance, what does he see? A light. There's a light. So he reports to his family, I have seen the train. They say, tell us, what does it look like? And he said, it's a big white light. Family said, can't be just that. Go again, see. So then he sees, and then the train comes closer. And then he sees that it's like a long snake. So he goes back home and he says, the train, it's a giant snake. Yeah, it has a form, it's not just light. The light is in the front, but behind the light, there is something there. And then finally, when the trains arrive in the station, then he sees, oh, you can get into the train, there are compartments, so many people are coming out. You can also get in, you can sit, you can talk, you can eat, you can drink, you can sleep. So many things you can do on the train. So see, this is the example of different faces of understanding of the truth. So the impersonalists, they have seen the light. And because the light is beyond the three gunas, they are transcendentalists. But there is more to that. Hiramayena patrena satyasya pihita mukham. Says, please, he is praying, please remove this light so I can see your face. So the face, we understand, is beyond the light. And the face controls the light. The light is the effulgence of the Lord. But both of them are tattvadarshis. They have seen the truth. Prabhupada said there is perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. Krishna is most perfect. Gradations. Yes? What more?
What is the proper use of white?
The proper use of violence yesterday, this was a very important concept that we learned. How to use violence properly. Not that we will take an excuse that the soul never dies, the body will perish anyway, why wait, just kill him. No, we should not take advantage. We should know that actually life is very valuable and we cannot encroach on other people's life. So what are the parameters to use violence? Should be authorized. By who? By me? By whom it should be authorized? By the judge. What was the idea behind? The supreme authority in one sense, yes. What is the purpose of using violence? Yes? To rectify the wrongdoers, the wrong mentality. To rectify, to administer justice, to protect people, to protect those who are being hurt, to protect the one who is hurting from the wrong mentality, from the reactions in future lives. So, and it has to be according to authority, which means ultimately the laws of God, who has given those laws in the form of Dharma Shastra. So it should be according to the law. And also, not just that you buy a book of law and you decide who should die immediately, but there has to be also a person who administers the justice and who is empowered to do so, who has been accepted to have this authority to decide who dies and who doesn't. What else? What is the proof of the soul?
Consciousness
is the proof of the soul. Yes. Some qualities of the soul we heard: eternal, no change, unborn, primeval, indestructible, immeasurable. The soul does not die. I read a few words from Srila Prabhupada here. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.13.58, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, very good news for all of us. We actually do not die. At death, we are merely kept inert for some time, just as during sleep. Sleep is a kind of death. At night we sleep and all our activities stop. But as soon as we arise, our memory immediately returns and we think, oh, where am I? Did you ever have this experience that you wake up in the morning and you don't know where you are?
Yes.
Yeah. Especially when you travel a lot sometimes. You wake up and you're like, no. Okay, different place. Yeah, so this is we forget everything when we sleep. And then we have to be reminded, what do I have to do? Die means that we become inert for some time and then again begin our activities. That's pacifying, isn't it? For us who are so scared of death. It's actually like going to sleep. No problem. This takes place life after life, according to our karma, or activities, and swabhava, or nature, by association. Now, in the human life, if we prepare ourselves by beginning the activity of our spiritual life, we return to our real life and attain perfection. The Krishna consciousness movement wants to stop koti janma, repeated birth and death. In one birth, one should rectify everything and come to permanent life. This is Krishna consciousness. So this is an angle of Krishna consciousness that Prabhupada preached. In this life, give one life to Krishna. Don't just think, oh well, planning, you know, next life a little bit more, then next life a little bit more. Prabhupada, you know, many times he preached this, is don't plan to take birth again. Of course it's not in our hands fully, but still, don't plan to take birth again. Srila Prabhupada, the process that he has given us under the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is such that if we engage in the mission and we serve Mahaprabhu, in this one lifetime, we can go back. This is a special mercy, because otherwise it doesn't take just one life. And in fact, most of us, it's not the first time we're trying. But in this life, we have the chance that if we surrender to Mahaprabhu's will of preaching his message, of chanting his holy name, if we focus on that in all humility, without any interest for some personal gain, we can free ourselves from our conditioning. So we do not die. Then what happens? We were in text 21. We do not die, then what happens? So Krishna is explaining what happens. Vasam chijirnani yatha vihaya navani krnati naroparani tatha sharirani vihaya jirnani anyani sanyati navani dehi. As a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material body, giving up the old and useless ones. So at death, it's not that everything stops. It's just the body that transforms. But the ourselves, the self, and its consciousness continue. And we go through a transition. So here, Krishna compares the body to what? Clothes. Some clothes. And death is what? Change of clothes. Who cares about changing clothes? And then it also says, you change from old one to new one. Who doesn't like that? You know, everyone likes to get some new clothes. So what is there to lament about this? You have an old clothing, you're going to get a new one. This is all a matter for happiness. You should rejoice. So Krishna is on his campaign here to make Arjuna understand that he should not lament. And Krishna is saying, actually, you don't understand what you are lamenting for. This is actually what you are lamenting for, is that there is a change in the clothes, there is a change in the body. And don't you see that it's the wrong type of lamentation, because it's actually positive. And since the, we said before, since all these warriors and Bhishma and Drona, they are very pious, you know, so they will get a very nice new clothes. So Srila Prabhupada in this purport, he begins with a daring statement. He says, change of body by the atomic individual soul is an accepted fact. How is it an accepted fact?
It happens every time.
Yeah, but how is it an accepted fact? Accepted.
Everybody's seen it and everybody knows it will happen.
Everybody knows it will happen?
We have no choice.
We have no choice? It's an accepted fact for whom?
For everyone.
You're the scientist.
In which way the scientists have accepted the change?
Every 7 years the cells of the body change. So from infant to youth, the youth to
the
younger
person.
Right. Like that, yeah. It's changing. So
this is the accepted fact is that we are, the thing that we don't understand is that the soul, the the soul we don't understand. But the fact that the body is changing, that's an accepted fact. Right? And Prabhupada explained that nobody laments when a child grows up. It is expected that we change body. And if you go by science, then it is a fact that not only it's the appearance that changes, but all the elements change. Every 7 years, most of the cells, practically all the cells are replaced by new ones. The cells die and new ones grow. So it is an accepted fact, both practically, at least from youth to old age, practically it is accepted. And scientifically, it is proven. So in that way, Prabhupada explains. What are some other proofs of the transmigration of the soul? Besides the Shastra that tells us about it.
Reincarnation.
Reincarnation. What does that mean, reincarnation?
That is, a lot of people, they remember their past.
They remember. Okay. Yeah. They remember. This is called Jati Smara. Sometimes, so this happens in different ways. Sometimes, a child takes birth still remembering his previous family, his previous place, house, his spouse, his wife or husband. So sometimes a child remembers. Sometimes there are children, when they begin speaking, they do not speak the local language, they speak their previous language. So these are proofs. And then lots of research has actually been done on that. And there are many proofs which the scientists are still banging their head to understand how come. But those who are like on the fringe of science and make this kind of experiments, they have actually traced. You know, you take all the information, you interview the person who's like this, and then you go to the other place and you see. And people say, yes, there was such a person with such a name. You can even find their grave in the graveyard with their name, the date of the death. And they recall how they died, or they recall their parents, their family members, and everyone recalled, yes, there was such a person. And his name was such and such. Yes, it was. There is even one population in the world called the Druze. Did you hear about the Druze?
Yes.
In Israel.
Yes.
It's a kind of a closed type of society that is very close to Vedic thought. And the Druze believe they have their own religion, they have their own philosophy, they have their own dress, they have their own everything. They live in a certain area within Israel. And they believe in the soul. And they trust in reincarnation. Not only they trust it, but they actually trace the people. They trace them. And it's very strange that in their society some people are in touch with several families. Because they know the family of their previous life, and then their new family, and sometimes the family of another previous life. So they are all very, and they try to marry within the Druze community. They marry within the Druze community, and they are really like so united, because not only they are united in this life, but they also have bonds from previous life. Of course, this is a sort of increase of the bondage. But they are very spiritual as people. And they love Srila Prabhupada's books. What's another way to remember the previous life? The proof of reincarnation, yes.
Near-death and out-of-body experiences.
Yes, there are near-death experiences. experiences, out-of-body experiences, especially nowadays in the hospitals where so many operations are being conducted, many times under the effect of anesthesia. People actually, the subtle body actually comes out of the gross body. And those who have this experience, they, you know, they actually witness themselves outside their own body, they see their gross body, and they understand themselves to be different from the body. Of course, many times they do not distinguish the soul from the subtle body, but at least they understand that there is something, a self, which is different from the gross body. It happens during accidents also, in a state of shock. There was one of our ISKCON sannyasis, his name is Mahavishnu Goswami from England. And he had an accident one time in a van. He was traveling with some other devotees. They were on some book distribution, some traveling, something. And he was sitting next to the driver. And there was an accident. Suddenly they just crashed into something. And he left his body. And he had a big shock. And he left his body. He found himself outside his body. He saw the car crashed. He saw his body, you know, entangled in the car. He saw all these things. And suddenly he had like a blackout. And when he again came to consciousness, he opened his eyes and he was back in his body. He was again inside the body. And what happened while he was... Somebody's listening. So, while he was in that state outside the body, he had a vision of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada chastised him and told him, "What did I teach you?" And he went back into the body. And when he opened his eyes, fortunately he was not too hurt. And when he opened his eyes, he realized what Prabhupada meant is that when he had the accident, he was not chanting. He was just spacing out, looking at the countryside, looking at the monkeys, he was looking here and there, and suddenly there was a crash. And he left his body, and he was not remembering Krishna. So these are experiences of that kind. Sometimes also people practice regression, psychological regression, with the help of some mystic people. And they remember their previous lives. Any other proofs? Yes?
Recently in the US they showed a 4-year-old boy. He was a pilot in the Second World War. And he told everything how he died in the last moment. So they went and verified the plane, the colleagues of him, everything. Everything. It was a big broadcast all over the US. He was 4-year-old.
Very nice. Yeah. So the proof, so that's why Prabhupada says when the change of body is accepted, the next thing to accept is that there's something permanent which goes from body to body. So now how does it work, this transmigration? How does it work? How do we change body? What's the mechanism to change body? Karmic reaction? But that's not usually how the change of body occurs. This was a very special mystical event.
The yogis also do that. They leave the body here, and then they have to get this happens in Himalaya. Mahavara dosa is there. And Pandu Maharaj, one of the engineers, that. Mm-hmm. So then, the Bhagavan Maharaj cannot do what the yogi can do.
So the yogis know how to separate the gross body from the subtle body. But what does Prabhupada, now we are talking of regular transmigration. How do we change from one body to the next?
Depending on the desire at the time of death and
karmas. Depending on the desire. And Prabhupada says, by the grace of the super soul, yes. So what's the role of the super soul? Sitarani said, we have desires. We have desires at the time of death. So how does transmigration happen? The soul desires. And the super soul? First of all, witnesses the desire. The super soul sees, hears, knows. Because we heard he is the most subtle part of the self. So the super soul is there. He knows the desire. And the super soul?
The karma then sanctions.
He sanctions. Of course, there are a few other things according to what we deserve and all that. But one desires, and by the grace of the super soul, we obtain another body. Srila Prabhupada says that the Atma, the soul, the soul and the super soul, Prabhupada refers to the Upanishad, they are compared to two birds on a tree. They are two birds on a tree. So the tree is what?
The body.
Okay. And there are two birds. One is captivated by the fruit. That is the soul. And the other is just watching. The super soul. It's detached. It's the witness. And he has the power to fulfill the soul's desires. So, what are some qualities of this? There is something here. This analogy is also in Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, without attachment, a bird gives up the tree in which his nest was constructed when that tree is cut down by cruel men who are like death personified. And thus the bird achieves happiness in another place. So you understand here, there is the example. There is one bird, he lives in one tree. He made his nest there, very comfortable. Then one day somebody comes and cuts the tree. Is the bird standing there and crying? No, he just flies away and he makes his nest in another tree. Prabhupada says, here the example is given of detachment from the bodily concept of life. The living entity resides within the body just as a bird dwells within a tree. When thoughtless men cut down the tree, the bird, without lamenting the loss of its previous nest, does not hesitate to establish its residence in another place. So this is the idea that this is something very natural, and we should not cling to that body. This was Bhagavatam 11.20.15. By the way, if you want to know all kinds of analogies, examples, proofs of the soul's existence, you study the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's quite amazing. Very amazing. They take it from one angle. It's Krishna actually teaching. It's the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna teaches from the point of view of the body, of the mind, of the intelligence, of everything. He takes so many different angles, and the conclusion is always, why are you attached? Why are you attached to something that keeps changing all the time? You should be attached to something else. and be attached to doing one's duty so that the next destination may be favorable. So what is the psychology of the Jivatma that we hear in this purport here? What does he do, the Jiva? He enjoys. He enjoys. He eats the fruit of the tree. So he puts himself in that position of enjoyer. He takes the position of enjoyer. However, what else does he do besides enjoying?
He suffers.
He suffers. He's forgetful. What else he does? He struggles.
He ignores the super soul.
He's forgetful. He ignores the super soul. He struggles.
He laments.
He's anxious.
He's morose.
He's morose. What's wrong with him? Why is the Atma so full of anxiety and lamentation and everything, while at the same time he's enjoying? What's wrong?
He's forgetting the relationship, true position as a servant of the God.
Yeah, it's actually he is not in his natural position. So that's one reason why, even though he's striving so much to enjoy, it doesn't work because he's not in his natural position. Yes. And what else? He's trying to enjoy in the wrong place. Yes. Whatever he enjoys never gives the enjoyment that he's looking for. He's looking for something. He has a concept inside. He has some expectation that if I get this thing, I will feel like that. But when he gets the thing, it's never exactly what he was expecting. Because remember, Satchit Ananda, what the soul is expecting is eternal happiness, something everlasting. And every time he catches an object, within a few minutes, it goes through the fingers like sand, and nothing is left. If we get an object, we enjoy it. Number one, we don't get as much as we thought we would get. Like in the ice cream, you know. You think of the ice cream for 1 month, I'm going to have an ice cream, I'm going to have an ice cream. And then the day you have the ice cream, it was great, but I had greater ones before, you know. And then the other thing is the ice cream, as you put it in the mouth, it melts, and if you don't eat it quick, it melts even before you put it in the mouth. Okay? So all the enjoyment in this world, it passes very fast, very quickly. It's finished. Just one fraction of a second, and oh, it's gone, and you have to look for something new. So this is not satisfying, and that's why the bird on the tree, today we are birds, okay? So the bird on the tree is always lamenting, anxious. Why is he anxious?
He might not enjoy the next
one. Yeah, he never knows what's next. Like, he doesn't, you know, his happiness depends on the fruit. Is there going to be some fruit on the tree? Is there going to be something? And then the other thing is, there's always somebody who wants to cut the tree. You know? The body, you never know what's going to happen next with this body. It's always a source of anxiety. So this is the condition of the living entity. Now the super soul, we said he just witnesses, he's the master, that's his position. He fulfills the desire. And what is his desire? Does the super soul have a desire?
Yes.
Turn to me. That's the super soul's desire. When is that fool gonna stop looking at the fruit and is gonna finally look at me? Huh? So this is the super soul's desire. he desires that the Atma turn to him and surrender. But because he has given freedom to the Atma, he can only desire. He can't interfere. He doesn't interfere, but he desires. And his desire is manifest through the Vedas. His desire is manifest through the saintly people who travel the earth to enlighten the conditioned soul. This is the desire of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada gave this funny example. Today I couldn't find the actual text, but Prabhupada gave the example that the super soul and the soul is like a man taking out his dog on a leash. You know, in the cities especially, the people, they keep dogs at home. They keep the dog at home. Big dogs, small dogs. And the dog, so the dog every morning, they have to take the dog out. Actually, the master has to serve the dog every day. He has to put the dog on the leash, and the dog is leading and is pulling the leash. And he's going out. And the dog is going from tree to tree to pass. So he goes from tree to tree. And that sometimes you see the dog is going so strong that the master is running behind. So Prabhupada says that the master has no interest on that walk. He didn't come out for himself. He didn't need to come out, you know. He had a bathroom and a toilet at home. He didn't need to go on the walk. So he didn't have anything to do. He went for the dog, for the benefit of the dog. So this is the Paramatma. He is with us for our benefit. Not that it's his idea to come here, but because we are his dog, so he wants to make sure, you know, comes with us. And Prabhupada says he has no interest going from tree to tree. It is the dog's interest to go from tree to tree. And the master is happy. When is the master happy? When the dog has finished his business. He's finally had enough. And now he's happy, doesn't pull anymore. And then the Paramatma, the master can just go back home and take him home.
Where does prayers come into this, for example?
Prayers.
Jiva desires, the super soul fulfills that desire.
Yeah.
And someone else is praying intensely for that person. And that's that person desire for this other person to turn to Paramatma.
Yeah, so this is the... You mean one person desires something material, material life, and another person prays for that materialist that he may be liberated. Yeah, so this is one of the factors that change our destiny. That, you know, sometimes we are materialists and we are always praying for some enjoyment. We are not anxious to go back to Godhead. But somebody like the spiritual master is praying for his foolish disciples that, oh my Lord, please free them from this illusion. So it is by the mercy of others who pray for us that we make advancement in that way. So the Lord listens to the desires. He listens to the prayers. Yes. So as we said, He's waiting. He's waiting. So the cause of all this transformation, Prabhupada explains, is our forgetfulness of Krishna. This is the cause of transformation. The atomic soul forgets he is a servant of the Lord. And that's why we transmigrate. So what we understand from that is that to stop transmigration, we have to transform our consciousness from enjoyer to servant. And this is our work in Krishna consciousness. And And as soon to stop transmigration, we have to turn to Krishna. What does Prabhupada say in the purport? What does it mean, turn to Krishna? What else do we have to do, essential, what Prabhupada says? Turn to Krishna. And? Here. What? Especially where? Here, what? Bhagavad Gita. We are on the right path. Okay? We should hear the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna spoke it for us. This is meant to turn us back towards Him by studying His thing here. And as the Super Soul can help us change body, the Super Soul can also help us stop the transmigration. As soon as we turn to Him, He will give us guidance, intelligence, inspiration. He will fulfill our spiritual desires. He fulfills all desires. It's us who have to change the quality of our desires. And then we will be able to stop this transmigration. So next. Nenam chindanti shastrani nenam dahati pavakaha. Nachenam kredayam kyapo na shoshayati marutaha. Now Krishna is going from 23 to 25 to speak to us about more about the indestructible nature of the soul. And he will do that, as we heard in one of the, in 20 already, na jayate mriyate va kadachi nayam bhutva bhavitava na bhuya na 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 na. Negative definitions. So he's going to give us more negative definitions and some positive as well. So here we have na na nenam nenam na chenam. So this should be negative. The soul can never be cut to pieces by any weapon, nor burned by fire, nor moistened by water, nor withered by the wind. So why is Krishna saying these things? Why is he explaining things like this? It cannot be burned, it cannot be cut, it cannot be moistened.
Because Arjuna has all these different varieties of weapons.
Yeah.
And he's thinking if he uses them he might kill his grandfather and the guru. And Krishna is trying to tell him that whatever weapons you have, they're not going to die even if you want to kill them.
Right. This is the correct answer. Arjuna had collected all these weapons and Prabhupada explains that actually we are thinking so much that we are advanced. But today's weapons are mostly fire weapons. But at that time, there were fire weapons, water weapons, wind weapons, earth weapons. They knew how to make weapons out of all the different elements. They could use the elements to destroy. So this is what Krishna is saying. Your weapons cannot do anything to the soul. They cannot be harmed. You cannot harm them. Then Prabhupada gives different explanation. The soul cannot be cut. So this is an important point which Srila Prabhupada uses to defeat Mayavad philosophy. Buddha mission. Defeat by Mahaprabhu. And it's not just Prabhupada, it's Krishna and the Acharyas that are using that. So how does that defeat Mayavad philosophy? The soul cannot be cut.
Because they say that the soul is the other parts of it. So this study has a soul in mind to kill them anyway. So how does offense change?
They say, what do they say? they say that there is one Brahman.
Yes.
There is one Brahman and...
Now in illusion we have come from Brahman. And after this illusion is over, then we go back and merge and become one big soul.
Yeah, and in the meantime we are cut.
Yeah.
We are different individuals now. Before we were all one. And under illusion, we have become cut into different individuals. And then in the end, when we merge, again we'll be merged. So Prabhupada said, no, the soul cannot be cut. It's not that it was one before, and now it has become many. No. What is the reality? Is that... We are eternally many. We are eternally many. Not that we were one and we got cut. No, we are eternally many. The soul is eternally fragmented. We will read that. Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Mamevamso Jiva Loke Mama Eva Ansa. Krishna says that this jiva is my ansa. It's a part. It's an expansion. It's an emanation from me. And Srila Prabhupada used to call that part and parcel. Which means, part means that part means like a portion. You know, it means there is a kind of a separation. But it's a part or portion. Portion means, I never remember which one of the two, I'm French. Part and parcel. English speaking will know. The portion means the specific part, right?
Yeah.
And part means that it is integrated. It's not separate. So there is a separation in the sense that we are all individual in consciousness. But at the same time, we are part of the whole. So we are, it's one and different. We are fragmented, but never disconnected. So this is the philosophy that Krishna is explaining. And why do we come under illusion? Because?
We want to enter separately.
Yeah, okay, this is our desire. But another technical detail. Why do we come under illusion? Yes? We are called kshara, fallible, yes? Why are we fallible?
Because we have free will and we have rebellion.
You are very philosophical. It's so true what you say. We disassociated with Krishna. There is an analogy which is given here, a very simple analogy. What is it?
Spark.
The spark and the fire. Because Krishna is the total fire and we are sparks. So the potency of Krishna is huge. And the material energy is his energy and he controls it. But we are part of him, so we are also fire. We are conscious, we are eternal. But we are like sparks, which means small particles, infinitesimal. And we know we have this experience in the winter, we make fire and it sparks. The sparks, you know, go up. And what happens to the sparks? They lose their shining nature. The spark, they are extinguished. They lose their shining nature. Why they lose their shining nature? Because they are separate from fire. But under whose influence do they lose? The wind. It can be the wind, it can be the earth. When they come in contact with the other elements, with the nature around, they cannot keep their power. They are overwhelmed by the nature's elements. they fall on the earth, and the coldness of the dryness, the coldness of the earth extinguishes their power. Sometimes just the coldness of the air extinguishes their power. So this is what happened to us. That is, as soon as we are disconnected from Krishna in consciousness, not in fact, we are never in fact disconnected from Krishna. We are part, we are within Him. He is all around. We are within Krishna, but when we are disconnected in consciousness by becoming rebellious to His supremacy, then we become vulnerable. We come under the influence of the material nature, which is Krishna's and which is huge. And so our power is subdued. You remember, we were called Prabha, which means
light.
We are radiant by nature, but now the radiance has been subdued, because we have lost our connection with the fire. It cannot be burnt, mastered, withered. This is all the action of the weapons. In other words, the soul is not touched by matter. This is what it means here. Achedyo yamadahyo yamakledyo sosya evacha nitya sarvagatasthanur achaloyam sanatanaha. The individual soul is unbreakable. So this is why it can't be cut. Some say this is a reason. He's giving the reason now. Why can't it be cut? Because it's unbreakable. And it is insoluble. What means insoluble?
Cannot be dissolved in water.
Cannot be dissolved, mixed with water. So neither can it be made wet, nor can it be dissolved in the water. Like you put some sugar in the water, it dissolves and it mixes. So it cannot be dissolved in the water, it cannot mix with the water. Then he says, it can be neither burned nor dried. So here he is repeating. He's repeating the same thing. Then, he is everlasting, nitya. He is present everywhere, sarvaga, unchangeable. Here it's unchangeable, mean here it means sthanur, and immovable, achal, and eternally the same, sanatana. So the most important word here is, there are two, three important words. One is immovable. Okay, let's explain that one. The soul is immovable. That will be interesting for Apurva Nimai. You will like this one. The soul is immovable. Yesterday you were talking of moving your hand. Listen to this one. The soul is immovable. How do we explain that? Yes?
Constitutional position of the soul cannot be changed. The constitutional position of the soul is that it's the servant or servitor of the Lord, and that position can never be changed.
Okay, so that's one meaning of it, which is not a physical meaning, but the fact that we have a constitutional position, and that constitutional position cannot be changed. Even though we have come here, Prabhupada said, it's either you serve God or dog. But in either case, you are a servant. So that service, servant position cannot be changed. So that's one meaning. What else? Yes.
It is a spiritual entity.
Yes.
So it's not that it's in the region of the heart, so it does come, the heart, the soul will also move.
Right, good. So it is situated in a different dimension. It's not, the body moves within material space. But the soul is not situated within the material space. Yesterday we saw how the soul on its spiritual platform, it is energizing. From the spiritual platform, it energizes the subtle airs, and then it energizes the senses, and it energizes the body. But the soul itself is not in the body. It is on a different plane. It's like there are many layers, and it's on a different plane. It's not moving within time, and it's not moving within space. How it is connected to matter is a great mystery. Okay? And what else is there? Sarvaga. What means Sarvaga?
Everywhere.
Present everywhere. Okay, it's present everywhere. On all the Prabhupada says this Sarvaga is a proof that there is life on all on different planets. Because the soul exists everywhere on different planets. The soul can exist in different elements, just like the fish exists within the water. So some entities can also exist within the fire. Prabhupada said in the sun planet they have fire bodies. In some higher planets they have ethereal bodies. Different kinds of bodies. Fire body, nice? Made of fire? And indeed, it has been proven. You know, like the science keeps making progress or regress, but progress. And before they thought that you can purify by fire, that when you burn, then nothing is left. No living entity can be left. But some years ago, they found that even within the fire, still there are living entities. So Prabhupada was pleased with that. And yes, Sarvaga. The soul is everywhere. There is life everywhere. This also means that the soul accepts all types of bodies. It goes everywhere. When it's a bird, it goes in the sky. In one sense, through the medium of the body. It goes in the ground when it takes birth as a worm. It goes in the water. So it accepts all kinds of bodies. And it also means that in the liberated state, when the soul is liberated from material conditioning, it is free to move everywhere. Just like Narada Muni Vachayami. Narada Muni, we know, he goes in Vaikuntha, he goes everywhere, in and out of the universe. Even the yogis, they have this ability to move through matter. While in the Kumbh Mela in 1917, what was it? The last year, I suppose. When Prabhupada was in the Kumbh Mela, he was advising the devotees that don't criticize anybody in this Mela. And don't look down at anybody and don't make any offense. Because there are the demigods come at that time to take bath. And they are unseen. Or they have taken, like he was saying, they have taken a human form. So Prabhupada was saying, be careful not to offend anyone in the Kumbh Mela. And he was also saying that the yogis, by their mystic power, they come, he was saying, there are some types of babas who are mystic yogis till today. And when you go to Kumbh Mela, you will see that all the different parties, all the different ashrams, they come in great pomp when they enter the Kumbh Mela. You know, they have their orchestra and their bhajans, and they come on elephants, on chariots. They, you know, there is a big reception. So Prabhupada said, reception, not everyone goes through reception. He was saying there are some yogis, they travel through the waters. They have that power, they travel through the water. So they live in the Himalayas, and there is a little stream. So in the morning, they enter the stream, and they have this mystic power that somehow they disintegrate their material body, and they go with the water, and they come out, in Prayag. And suddenly you are taking bath, and suddenly somebody next to you appears, and they go like, where from you? And he goes like, oh. So in that way the soul can go everywhere. Sthanu, here, it means unchangeable. Prabhupada also says this defeats the merging idea. You cannot change. It's not that you change from being an individual to being one with the Brahman. You cannot change. You are eternally part and parcel. When we go to the spiritual atmosphere, we retain our individuality. It is part of our eternal nature. It is sanatana. The only thing is, and we have the choice. Prabhupada says, some prefer to go to the Brahmajyoti. And others prefer to go to the spiritual planets. This is the choice we have. We can go to the Brahmajyoti, we can go to the spiritual planets, but we cannot merge. That is not there. Sarva God. Avyakto yamachintyo yamavikaryo yamuchate tasmadevam viditvainam nanushochitum arhasi. It is said that the soul is invisible, inconceivable, and immutable. Knowing this, you should not grieve for the body. So here Krishna, we can see, he's kind of coming towards, closer to the end of his argument, and he starts saying this sentence. Nanu shochitumar hasi, 25, 26. Nenam shochitumar hasi, 27. Nat vam shochitumar hasi, 28. Tatraka paridevana. So he goes on and on like this, in many verses. In 30, Natvam shochitumar hasi. And you remember, this is how he started. Asochan namasochan vam. You should not lament. You are lamenting for what is not worthy of grief. So now he is saying, this is his conclusion. Therefore, you should not lament. Therefore, you should not lament. So what do we have here? Avyakta, which means invisible, Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes avyakta means also unmanifested. But avyakta, invisible. So what does that mean, invisible? Invisible means cannot see by the eyes. Okay, by the material eyes. This means Pratyaksha Praman, you have studied Pratyaksha Praman? Yes. You cannot know the soul by Pratyaksha Praman. It cannot be seen by the eyes. Why is it invisible?
Because it's spirit.
Because it's spirit. And it's not visible to material vision. And even if you want to consider that you could try to see it anyway because you're very determined, it's too small. So we cannot see. And then the next one is achintya. Inconceivable. What does that mean? by the subtle senses, yes. It's beyond the mind and intelligence. No Anuman Praman. Not by Anuman Praman. You cannot know it. By the mind, by the intelligence. Prabhupada says the only proof is in the Shruti. And he gives the same example as in Ishopanishad. Just like proof of the father is the mother. Huh? Otherwise, a child takes birth from a mother in the jungle who is alone. How will he ever know that the mother was not the only one involved in his birth? Mother could tell him, well, you know, he came from me only. And he will not be able to know that actually there was a father involved. So similarly, we can only see the body. And we can only know about the soul, who is like, you know, having a father. You can only know the soul from the mother, which is the Shruti, the revealed scriptures. Srila Prabhupada says, we have to accept this truth because there is no other source of understanding the existence of the soul. Although it is a fact by perception. So on one hand he says, we cannot see it, we cannot think of it, conceive of it. But then he says, it is a fact by perception. What does it mean? It's a fact by perception. We can see? The consciousness, okay. So by intelligence we can trace the soul. We have been doing that all these days. By intelligence we can trace the symptoms of the existence of the soul. Yes. And perception means, besides the fact that by intelligence we can perceive its symptoms, what other type of perception? There is also transcendental perception. Prabhupada, it's a fact by transcendental perception. Pratyaksha lagamam dharmyam. We'll study that. That the spiritual reality can be experienced directly. But that is not directly by the material senses. It is by transcendental experience, by following a transcendental process. And Prabhupada says there are so many things he says we can only accept it on the ground of authority. What are some other things that we accept on the ground of authority and we have no proof for it? Our life is full of these things. What are some things we accept on the ground of authority? Yes?
The planetary system. Because we studied it, so we accepted that that's how it is.
Yeah. You accept the authority of the scientists. You think there is a sun and there is Venus, Mercury and the Earth and Mars going around. And, you know, you have accepted it. And you base your life on it. Right? When you see the moon, you know that it's in orbit around the Earth and it's going round and we accepted it. Yes. What else?
There is oxygen present in the air and how it comes and how we live on that.
Yeah. So many things we have no idea. And there are many things like that we don't know in our life. We just believe either the television or the newspapers or, you know, have you seen China, Tibet? But you know so many things about it that we have heard from some authority and we have accepted it. And if somebody asks us, you know, Daddy, how is it in China? You have never seen a Chinese. And you say, in China they have eyes like this? You have never seen a Chinese. You have accepted it without any proof. So we should learn to go to the highest authority and then learn about spiritual existence. Then what else does it say here? It's inconceivable, it's immutable. Immutable means something like it cannot change. Cannot change, or it cannot be made to change. So, from this also, when Krishna says repeatedly, Nanu Shochitu Marhasi, one thing that we can learn is that grieving, lamenting, grieving, feeling pain is in proportion to the knowledge of the soul. Ignorant people suffer more. The more we are ignorant, the more we suffer. Is that okay, Rukmini? The more we are ignorant, the more we suffer. Because we don't understand anything what's happening. Anything at all. And if we don't understand the soul and we are fully absorbed in this bodily concept, then obviously we suffer so much. So much separation, so much lamentation. So it is to our advantage to realize as quick as possible that we are not this body and other people also are not this body. We will be free from suffering. Yes? Microphone?
When the soul is in the body, then the body has life. We don't have an example of a dead body moving without the presence of the soul.
I know.
Puppet,
yeah, puppet.
But we don't have an example.
No, we don't have an example. We have robots, but they are powered from a battery or from someone outside, the remote control. They are not independent. No, then that's why it says, it is the soul that moves matter. There's nothing else. You can see, like this microphone, you know, you can see between the whatever matter, this is all matter, this also matter. Everything is matter. The body is matter, the table is matter, the microphone is matter, it's all matter. It's all one. In fact, it's all one. There is oneness in matter, not in spirit. We are all individuals, but matter is all one. One time I had this vision, two times. One time I was, I think here, outside. I was watching there were birds, five, six, seven birds all in a row on a wire. And I don't know, suddenly it so happened. Then I was watching and I saw the wire, the birds, the trees, everything one. All one, it's all one. So, and another time I was studying the second canto, I was teaching actually the second canto of the Bhagavatam, and we were studying the universal form, which is very difficult, complicated matter to understand. So we were studying, and then there it's written that in the universal form has thousands of hands and thousands of eyes and thousands of feet and thousands of mouth and ears and thousands and I was like, what's that? I was trying, I was like, oh my God, I have to teach that. What if they ask a question? I'll be humble. I will say, just as it is. So I was praying to Krishna, I was praying, and in the morning I was sitting in the samadhi. I like at the end of the program to sit in the samadhi and chant. So I was chanting in the morning in the samadhi, and I was like, Prabhupada, thousands. Anyway, I had even forgotten about that. I was just trying to chant some nice concentrated rounds so that I connect with the Paramatma and I can speak something on his behalf, under direction. So I was chanting, chanting, and it was Shravan Mass, like now. And there were so many pilgrims, and suddenly, like hundreds of people suddenly came into the samadhi from Rajasthan. At that time they come with their colorful turbans, the men have colorful turbans, the ladies have these colorful skirts and everything. So, and they have these bangles, these very special, big, huge bangles they wear. Don't know how they walk with it. So, and so they entered in like a flow, you know. They are very pious. So they were all trying to pay a